2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 16, just before you get to chapter 8. Paul makes a statement as he's writing to the church at Corinth, and he says, I rejoice, therefore, that I have confidence in you in all things. I have confidence in you in all things. Now, it is a pleasure to be part of a church where I have confidence in the love, and not only the love, but the service one toward another. Caring not just for the things of God, but for the people of God. And I have confidence in our church in those things, and I'm thankful for you, and I believe in you. And it's good when you can believe in you. I hear pastors whining about their churches privately. You know, they don't want to do that publicly. But what a joy it is to not have to do that, not have to whine about the church. And I don't agree with them doing it, but I listen because I'm a pastor. And they got to talk to somebody, and they can't do that, hopefully not to the whole church, but they got to have a pastor too. But in chapter 8, as Paul is writing to this church he has confidence in, he says, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. And I know that's not exactly Pahokee English, but so what is he saying? He's saying, I want to tell you something about the churches in Macedonia. How then in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. You know, the churches of Macedonia saw a great need, a tremendous need, one that needed to be met, and they met it. Now, they didn't have a lot of money. They didn't have spare change and, you know, all that kind of stuff just laying around waiting to be spent. But it says out of their deep joy, it was their joy to give it. And out of their poverty, you know, this is a thing about poverty. If we step back, we could probably get a lot of good stories in here of how we used to do without that stuff. No, used to, we didn't have to have all that. And people today have become accustomed to air conditioning, but how many of us live without it? Right? Just turn it off. And then that'll cut your power bill back. Turn the TV off. That'll cut your power bill back. And you know, what do you need? Well, you need a lamp and a fan and a refrigerator. And we get by without it, couldn't we? But we don't want to. And so we need our power bill met because we got all these great needs we have become accustomed to. I've wondered often how much electricity bill has gone up in the public marketplace or in the workplace because people charge their phones at work. And we don't need cell phones, do we? I can remember when one of the kids asked me the other day, he said, Dad, what's a landline? I said, son, that's when you have a phone at a business. You don't have them at home most of the places anymore. I know some of you still do. But it's when the line actually is attached to the house from the phone company. And thank God we used to have them, right, guys? So we are living in a great luxury today, and we consider it to be necessity. But see, this church, these churches in Macedonia, they looked around and they said, you know, I could do without a $7 cup of coffee every day. I could make my coffee at home. I could do without going out to eat for lunch every day. I could take my lunch to work. And they found ways to cut their budget so they would have extra so they could give it. Now, don't ever get in your mind that this is a message about you need to give more to God. That's not what this is about. Church is doing well financially. In fact, somebody called me the other day and said, I got an inheritance, Pastor. I'd like to give it to the church. What kind of financial situation is the church in? And I said, well, Lord's blessed us and we're doing well. And I didn't cry and say, well, we need it, send it to us. And I just said, Lord's blessed us and we're doing well. And so we didn't get that offering, but we did, you know, if the Lord leads that person to give it, they'll give it anyway. But I'm not going to pour them out to get people to give to God so that we can just to have it. But this church in Macedonia found a way to give. The truth is that we say we're so busy, but we carve out time. We can cut out time. We can make time. We can organize our time to do the things we need to do, even if that means not doing some of the things we want to do. We just have to become disciplined, whether it's in our giving or whether it's in the giving of our time or whether that's in the projects that need to be done. All of those things, it's a matter of self-discipline, self-control, organization, deliberate effort to make a difference. And this church, these churches of Macedonia, stepped up. In fact, he says they insisted upon helping. He says in verse number 3, to their power I bear record. Yea, beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. They would have given whatever they could to make a difference, to make the project work, to bring it together. They wanted it to happen. They believed in it. And so even beyond their power, they did more than they could really do to make a difference, to help. Verse 4, praying us with much entreaty. What does that mean? In Pahokee English, it means they insisted. They insisted. Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Now, what are we talking about? Well, directly what we're speaking of, remember that in Jerusalem, particularly the apostles that were there, were not able to have jobs. People would not hire Christians in Israel, in Jerusalem. When they found out you had converted to Christianity, you'd lose your job, maybe even lose your family. They would disown you because they didn't want any of this Christian stuff. And so those Christians, those saints who had given their lives to Jesus could no longer earn a living. And so they were suffering financially to the point they could not afford to live. And so there was offerings being given, sent back to Jerusalem so that they could take care of those in need. And that is particularly what we're speaking of here. And this they did, verse 5, not as we hoped. Not because we asked them. We didn't ask for this. They discovered the need, and so they gave to the need. They saw what was needed, and so they answered it. Not because we asked. It was not a command. They were inspired to do it. We didn't expect them to do it, but God worked through them. Not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. So because they had given themselves to God, God was leading them to do this. And so we received it because it was the will of God. Verse number 7, therefore as ye abound in every thing, in faith and utterance, knowledge, diligence, in your love toward us, see that you abound in this grace also. So he speaks to the church. Let's go back to chapter 7. He said, I have confidence in you. Right? And now he says, you abound in it. He said, guys, you've got a great church. Man, your faith is fantastic. The words, the way you talk about God and the way you promote the gospel, it's great. And you know the word of God. Your knowledge is unchallenged. And you're diligent. You're busy in the work of God. You're consistent in the work of God. And no one would dare question your love to us. You see that? He said, y'all abound in everything. Man, there's just check every box. Y'all are a great church. He says, but hang on a second. Let's make sure you do something about this too. Let's make sure you're part of this also. Let's make sure you don't let this project or this need go unmet. Verse 8, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others. He says, look, it's not a command, but here's what he's saying. I was inspired by what they did. And so I'm going to encourage you to do what they did. I was inspired by it. They did such a great job. I just believe you could do it also. Verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. We kind of talked about that this morning, didn't we? He said, feed them. And the apostle said, with what? We got 5 loaves and 2 fish. He said, give them to me. So what did that do? It made them poor, didn't it? They didn't have anything then. He blessed it. He broke it. He said, give it to them. They gave it to everybody. Everybody was full. They came around. They said, you want any more? No, I'm full. They had 12 baskets of leftovers, of fragments left over. What happened? They became poor and they became rich. They gave all they had and they received more than they needed. That's God's math. It works. Verse number 10, and herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Look, he says we need to be better now than we were a year ago. I talked about that again a little bit this morning, and I asked the question, can you remember a time when you walked on water, but now you're sinking? There was a time when we were closer to Jesus. There was a time we had more confidence in Jesus. There was a time when people looked at us in our faith. They were confident. They were inspired. They were encouraged. But now maybe they look at our faith and they wonder what went wrong. So he says we need to be forward a year ago. He says, guys, we gave you this challenge and we said to take up a collection. But so far you don't even have as much as you had a year ago. You're not where you should be. So are we doing more for Jesus now than we did a year ago? That's the question. Are we doing more? Verse 11. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which you have. Not just a willingness, but a performance. You see, people get saved and they say, I give my life to Jesus. And they get baptized. They say they're going to be faithful to church. There's a willingness. There's just not a performance. They want to, but they don't. I was needing some information from somebody over a month ago, and I requested it, and they did not provide it. And so after a few requests, I went over their head and asked their boss, who had a conversation with him. Within 2 hours, I had the answers I needed. A month of no answer. In 2 weeks, I had the solution. And so I replied to their boss simply this. I said, that tells me it was not an inability, but a lack of urgency. You see, I believe that's true also of the church. For many of us, it's not a lack of ability. We just don't realize how close we are to the rapture. Or maybe we don't realize how close our friend, our loved one, that stranger is to eternity. And if they go without Jesus, they're going for eternity without Jesus. If we just had an urgency, it's not a lack of ability, it's a lack of urgency. He said it's not a lack of willingness, it's a lack of performance. We say you want to do it, but you don't do it. Verse 12, and this is important. If there first be a willing mind, it is accepted according that a man, to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. Well, back up. Because he said of the churches of Macedonia, they gave, yea, beyond their power. What does that mean? It means that they went beyond themselves. They went to friends and they said, hey, here's this project that needs to be done. There's some people in need. Can you give? Not just what I can give, but getting other people involved. And isn't that the power of evangelism in the church? Is that it's a big thing to try to reach this whole community, but if we can reach more people who can reach more people, then we'll reach the community. But if you don't reach anybody, and I don't reach anybody, that means they don't reach anybody, and so we go into a decline. I'm not talking about the church membership. I'm talking about people going to heaven. There's got to be an urgency. And we've got to have this understanding that God didn't call me to do what I can't do. But He called me to do what I can do. And if I'll do what I can do, I can get other people to do what they can do. And so what God will get is more than I can do. You see that? According to that, we have, not according to that, we don't have. Verse 13. I mean not that other men be eased and ye be burdened. You see, that's the beauty of the church, is that if everybody will do, each one do his part, her part, our part, a lot can get done. But if we lay that burden or expectation upon one or two or six people, in a congregation of our size, we're going to always be behind on everything. But if every one of us will get involved, if every one of us will do something. And look at what he says. Verse number 14. But by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. As it is written, he that had gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack. Sharing the need, sharing in the mission, an equality, sharing it. And so the question is, what can I do? Just one thing. What one thing can I do that I'm not doing right now for God? One thing. What is that one thing that will serve the Lord and His purpose and His mission that I can do? One thing. How can I help? Start small. Just do something. Just one step. One thing. And Paul says, I have confidence in you. I know you could do it. I know there are things that we could do if we just are willing to do it. I know there are people who would be saved if we were just willing to talk to them about salvation, about the need. There are people who would be saved, or they would come to church if they were just invited. It's amazing to me. I talk to people and they say, you know, we would have come sooner, but we didn't know it was here. Well, if we'd invite them, they'd know it was here. Just one thing. What's that one thing that we could do, each one of us, all of us together, one thing that each of us could do to make a difference? And be better, the kingdom of God would be better in a year than it is today. And for that person that gets saved, everything changes. Let's pray. God, we thank you for the time that we've had in your word tonight. We pray that you will guide us as we go into our monthly business meeting, that all things will be done in accordance with your will. God, guide each word, each step, each vote. Draw us to you. Use us this week to make a difference. Forgive our sins. In Jesus' name, amen.